Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Preds at 615-737-1025. We'll get into Tennessee's loss last night at Texas A&M coming up later this hour at 7:30. Teron Davenport joining the show at 8 o'clock today. We had to do some schedule shuffling. We'll have TD today. We'll have PK, Paul Kuharsky tomorrow, and then Charles Robinson coming up on Friday. So looking forward to all of those visits as the week progresses. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025. We had somebody call in and ask about, you know, selling off some of the higher paid players and maybe retaining some salary as they do it. That's what makes the Johansson injury last night, you know, problematic beyond just the injury itself. Firstly, I hope he's all right. When you start talking about a skate blade, that's not good. But, you know, David Poile did say yesterday that, you know, there are a lot of teams that have contracts that are hard to move, but also said that he has a lot of players on his team that are attractive to other teams. At least he feels like he does. And we have heard the ideas thrown out there of, could you move a Duchesne or a Johansson at the deadline this year if you retain some salary? I still think that'd be a tough sell. I do. I mean, how much salary are you going to retain? I don't know, but it's worth talking about if you're David Poile and the Predators. Like, if somebody's interested in a Matt Duchesne or Ryan Johansson and you have to retain some salary, like, it's not something that David Poile has traditionally wanted to do in terms of retaining salary, but, you know, maybe it's something you've got to do to get one of those contracts off the books. Now, the problem is, if Johansson is now out for a significant period of time, and based on the way that looked last night, he might be, then you can kiss the deadline part of this goodbye this year.
Yeah, Teresa Walker saw this. I didn't see it. I asked Hines last night, and he said, you know, possible. And the way he answered and the way he looked when he answered it, I was sitting next to Alex Doherty, and I was like, yeah, it doesn't. It's just, it doesn't sound good. It doesn't look good. Mm-hmm. I haven't really seen a good video, but I've seen a picture, and again, when the skate hits the back,
it's not good.
Oh, man, you know. It's tendons back there.
Yeah.
So, and then Teresa saw him in the hallway. Crutches, no weight on the leg, boot. You know, his reaction to it's like, you know, yeah, that could be a real tough break for him, obviously. And, you know, this team right now without him. And there's another, it's just, you know, now all of a sudden the injuries start piling up, which hasn't been a thing this year. It really isn't part of the story of this team, but now it becomes a bigger part of the story. How do you survive that? But another point made by JB and MJ. What is MJ?
Mount Juliet?
Yeah, good point. Who is JB?
I have no idea. Right.
Justin Bieber.
Maybe we'll it go is. With that. It could be. Is it worth trading away players you might not want to trade if it means you can attach players with bad contracts like Johansson or Duchesne? I mentioned Doherty, Alex Doherty. He had a good piece at A to Z about a 5-point plan. It includes, like, you know, getting rid of Poile, which is like everybody has that as part of their plan. It's like, right. Well, you may, that part of your plan may not work out for you. But it was an interesting point made on maybe you have to, one of these prospects, or I guess more than one, you know, okay, if this is a sweetener, will you please take on Johansson's or Duchesne's contract? Would that work? I don't know. I also don't like the idea of, you know, making it too much of a sweetener, because the whole idea here is, like, you want, like, I would prefer salary retention, you know, something trying to get creative like that, as opposed to giving away young players. Right. But you also, they're not all going to be able to have key roles moving forward. So
no, I mean, I'd look at it, you know, if you started to get into some of your higher level younger forward prospects, and that was what was going to be required for somebody to take on Ryan Johansson, which if somebody was going to take on Ryan Johansson's contract, I mean, you'd have to give me something pretty good to bring it back. I don't know why you do that if you're the Predators. Like, I get the idea of getting his contract off the books, but if you want his contract off the books that badly, just buy him out and then pay it a smaller cap hit over the next few years. Like, I'm not – this is just me. Like, I wouldn't be very interested in, like, hey, we really want Luke Evangelista. We'll take Ryan Johansson off your hands and do it. Like, no thanks. Right. Appreciate
it. Yeah,
you.
It's exactly. Like, who is it? Who are you talking about? There's got to be some untouchables among those prospects. Maybe not Zachary.
We'll take Yoakum Kimmel.
Zachary
off your
LaRue.
Hands.
Maybe Zachary LaRue could be. Yeah. Could be moved there. there's a
problems
case,
going
there's
on.
There's a case to be made there.
Yeah, there's problems going on.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Did Turris, Duchesne, and Johansson, they wouldn't have ever been on a line together, would they have? Probably not.
I don't think so.
I was going to say, you'd have a heck of a buyout. You'd have a whole buyout line, you know, just buy all.
Well, at the time, all of them were centers, and then they moved Turris over to the wing.
Right.
Because Duchesne.
And, of course, Duchesne's played mostly wing here. So yeah. I was like, is it possible that they were ever? But, yeah, I don't think so.
Maybe they were all in the power play together at one point. I don't know. But, yeah, that'd be a heck of a,
buyout line.
Pierre LeBrun has come out with a piece at The Athletic this morning, and there's a couple of interesting tidbits that go along with it. Number one, with the Blues part of this. So a lot of Predators fans have pointed to the Blues and have said, see, this is how you do this. You recognize that your team is not good enough to compete in the playoffs, and you start selling off some of your pieces, and you get some assets back. And the Blues have done that. They've traded away Tarasenko to the Rangers, and then this past weekend made the big deal to send Ryan O'Reilly to Toronto. And Ryan O'Reilly, by the way, had a hat trick last night for the Maple Leafs. So pretty good start to the Maple Leafs' tenure with him. But Pierre LeBrun has put it out there. Timo Meier of the Sharks is probably the top player available at the deadline this year. He's a younger guy, kind of right in the prime of his career. He's got over 30 goals this year for a bad team. And Timo Meier is like the top prize that a lot of people are linking to the New Jersey Devils right now. And then all of a sudden, the Blues, who now have three first-round picks in this year's draft after the trading that they've done, they are in a position where they could offer the Sharks pretty good compensation.
Dougie Armstrong is out here making moves.
He's out here making moves, and I mean, I would assume if you're going to make that move, you're going to get him locked up to a long-term contract along with it. So in reality, what it would be was flipping Tarasenko, who's been in trade rumors for a couple of years, and Ryan O'Reilly, who's scheduled to be an unrestricted free agent after this year. It'd be flipping those two basically for Timo Meier and signing him to a longer deal, and he's a younger guy than both of them. So that's kind of what the thinking is on the Blues part of it right now, that they make a push to do that. And then LeBrun came out with a piece on the Preds, and it's interesting. He's kind of circling in on Matthias Ekholm and what the market could look like here. Did say that the Predators have not yet raised the white flag. They have winnable games left on the schedule, but they have no choice but to start making calls regarding teams' interest in their players, and that process has begun. And LeBrun goes on to say in this piece in The Athletic that one player getting a good amount of attention, as we've discussed, is Matthias Ekholm. His age, he'll be 33 in May, is a concern, but the asking price would be high. He says perhaps as much as two first-round picks. Not sure there's a team out there willing to pay that, but at the very least, the Preds are talking to teams about him, talking about Matthias Ekholm. This is from Pierre LeBrun from The Athletic. So what do you think of that LeBrun put out there just a few minutes ago?
Done.
Yeah.
Stamp. Hit the stamp. Two first-round picks? Yeah. You make that deal before you can, you know, fump. You know, you're like so excited you can barely hang up the phone.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to get that. Let me put it this way. I'd be surprised if they got two first-round picks from Matthias Ekholm at his age. But let's think about that. Like, if you could get one, and then you could get either a prospect to go along with him or, like, a second or third rounder, are you doing that if you're the Predators for Ekholm?
What about just a first-round pick?
I mean, I don't know. That's the tough one, because that goes back to what I talked about with the difference between having to ship off some UFAs and guys with term. Like, could you get more for Matthias Ekholm in the offseason than you could at the deadline? I don't know. Like, to me, the age part of this that he brings up is a real thing. Like, he's 33 coming up in May.
That's the thing. Because sometimes, obviously, the deadline does artificially, and usually you see it with, like, what the Blues just did with expiring deals. But there could be a team that's like, you know, hey, this is it. We got a chance, and you add a rock-solid top-four defenseman to what we have, that could be the piece. Whereas in the offseason, you know, you're trying to build your team, but like you said, you're looking at that deal, and I don't know. I feel like he may be an example of someone who right now might be your best return.
Well, and part of the – I think you could be right. And part of the intrigue would be maybe – I think maybe if you're acquiring Matias Ekholm for that money, you may have to just accept that the last year, maybe the last year and a half of that deal may not be all that great for you. But if it's the remainder of this year, that's part of the equation. Like it's – I get the remainder of this year, I get next year where you feel like he'll be a pretty good player – and then we'll see after that. Maybe that's maybe that works out in the Predators' favor in their prices. But here we go again with Matias Ekholm rumors. Feels like we've gone back in time a couple years.
It is amazing. I mean, and it's like 2 years ago, and it was 28 games left.
Yeah,
and he was basically gone. We were talking about it. Pierre LeBrun probably had something out there on it, and they won a game, and then they finished 27-1. Will it happen again?
Can't go 27-1 without going 1-0.
That's right. They did.
Well, I guess you could go 27-1 without going 1-0.
You could have gone 0-1 and
but
still done it.
But they did it last night. They're off to a good start.
1-0.
615-737-1025. Got more of your thoughts on the Preds to get to. We'll get to Tennessee's loss to Texas A&M coming up as well. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tomorrow, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by TJ Anderson Holmes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game tomorrow night, you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Your next chance to participate is tomorrow morning at 8:45. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on the Preds at 615-737-1025. Pierre LeBrun putting it out there in The Athletic this morning that the Predators have started taking calls on their players and kind of gauging interest in their players around the league, and that one of the players that has come up is Matias Ekholm. The price is high, perhaps as much as 2 first-round picks is what Pierre LeBrun has put out there this morning. So that is obviously a very high price at that point. April in Portland on the text line says, I'm trading Ekholm for a first-round pick. If we gave up a first-round pick for Ryan Hartman, we should be able to get a first-round pick for Ekholm as well. And I hear what you're saying.
James said the same thing. What about Hartman?
I hear what you're saying.
That did happen.
It did happen. I say this a lot. Not all trade deadlines are created equal. And just because you decided to give up a certain pick for someone does not mean that the rest of the league will
work out that way for you the other way.
Now, look, having said that, like, I definitely think the Predators can get a first-round pick from Matias Ekholm.
I mean, if you can't get it, like if you trade Matias Ekholm for less than a first-round pick.
Yeah, I don't really know what you're doing.
I mean, you again, if you want to use an example of the other way, you give up a second for Jeremy Lauzon.
Yeah.
Who may soon be a top four defender.
Well,
for
could be. So, is right now with Carrier out. Yeah. So who knows?
Yeah. Like me permanently, though.
It
like
could
he
be.
Might have to be a top four defenseman.
I think that's interesting in terms of the Ekholm part of this. You know, the other part of what LeBrun says there in his piece, like the Predators have begun making calls about their players, like that's not surprising to me. I mean, I think regardless of what you're going to do at the deadline, like you have to do that if you're David Poile. So that makes sense. And it kind of reinforces what we were talking about earlier. Like I took some of Poile's comments yesterday about the future of the team. This is an important time, not only for our season, but for the future of our team and future of our organization. Like I took those as maybe stronger comments that he is leaning towards selling. I think a lot of people took it the other way. And took our interview with Poile yesterday as him like backing off and thinking about, you know, I heard some people say he's thinking about, because he did throw out the maybe acquiring a player yesterday. And we were like, is he going to buy now? Oh my goodness, what's going on? Like, I think that's just trade deadline posturing is what was going on yesterday.
God, it'd be amazing, honestly.
Kind of
would be the new standard for fan meltdown in the history of Nashville sports.
Preds go trade second round pick for somebody. Oh boy.
Yeah.
Missed the playoffs by 3 points.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like the Blues What if the Blues, like, engage in what we all perceive as this huge sell-off, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they get Timo Meier and they go on a huge run. I mean, that's the thing about the West is, like, if anybody wants to play well down at the bottom, they could probably get in.
They could get – now, look, Minnesota won last night. So, Minnesota, they beat L.A., and I looked at Minnesota's schedule earlier today as I was getting ready for the show. And it's not overly easy, but they do have Columbus coming up on Thursday and then the second half of a back-to-back against Toronto, and they got Columbus again on Sunday. So they got two dates with Columbus coming up later this week. I mean, they should win both of those games. Columbus is absolutely terrible. So I guess we'll wait and see what happens on that front. My point is, like, Minnesota has a chance to continue to, regardless of what the Predators do this week, keep themselves at a distance from the Predators if they just take care of business against Columbus.
Yeah.
So,
but they haven't been all that great either, and they're not all that great.
They're not. That's the thing. Like, Minnesota has, a few flaws. Calgary cannot put it together to save their life. The Predators, we know the inconsistency that they have. I mean, and St. Louis is 12 points back in Minnesota. Like, it would take a miracle for them to get in the playoffs at this point.
What if – but, hey, man, you know, get Timo in there.
I know.
What if the Preds do make a significant sale and then they just go on a heater, guys are upset, whatever, it starts clicking, and they make the playoffs?
I mean, it's happened before.
So, I mean – does that mean all of a sudden, like, Poile then changes? I don't think so. I mean, I'm saying this kind of facetiously and joking. Like, I don't – especially if they actually do make a move, I think that tells you the direction, even if the team then responds, right? But some people would be like, no!
Right. Well, I think what it would maybe cause you to do is maybe rethink the direction you were going in the offseason, right? Like, I think if the Predators sell here – like, they're not going to sell off, like, just everything they have at the deadline. They can't do it. Like, what I'm interested in is if they sell, let's say Ekholm goes and, like, a Niederreiter goes, and that's it at the deadline. I mean, that's a pretty decent shakeup to your group, but does that shakeup continue this offseason? First off, it will continue this offseason. To what level does it continue this offseason? That's what I'd be interested to know after that.
Yeah, I mean, it has to. That's the thing. It has to continue.
Right. Now, if you sold off, and I'm just using these two hypothetically, but if you sold off an Ekholm and a Niederreiter, and then you made the playoffs, like, would that change what you did in the offseason? Like, you may have one original plan in the offseason, and does it come back and you make the playoffs? Does that plan change? I have no idea.
Stroke your chin and, like, wait a minute. No. I see one more run. The window hasn't closed. No, I don't think so. I don't know anything.
Maybe we need to just clip that.
Every day is a day.
I don't know a thing.
Every day is a day. I don't know anything.
Jack from Nashville says, you think we could definitely get a minimum of a first rounder for Ekholm at this deadline with a flat cap and three more years at $6+ million AAV? I mean, that's a fair question.
It's
a fair question.
Absolutely.
I think so, yes. I do think so.
It's not comfortably.
Not comfortable.
Like, in this league.
Like, if the asking price is two first-round picks, I think that's a little high. Now, again, you don't have to have your actual asking price right now here today on February 22nd when the trade deadline is March the 3rd. Like, if the Predators, if what LeBron is putting out there is true and they are asking for two first-round picks for Matias Ekholm, I mean, I don't blame them. That's what I'd be asking for right now, too. Like, if you can get somebody to just go ahead and do it, that'd be great. Now, your price changes as the deadline gets closer. So, sure. Something to keep in mind there.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, another loss for the Vols last night on the road at Texas A&M. We'll get Joe's reaction to that. Take yours as well. We had Vols fans texting in this morning before the show even began.
Uh-oh.
Upset. So we'll get into all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode, Michelle Knazovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The Vols fall last night 68-63 on the road at Texas A&M. So yet another loss for Rick Barnes and company. Texas A&M been very good this year in the SEC and a tough place to play. Tennessee falls 68-63. They shoot 40% from the field, 9-31 from three. But ultimately, Texas A&M too much on their home floor, and yet another loss for Tennessee last night and Rick Barnes. We had Rainey, friend of the show, text in this morning, says, how many more excuses can Tennessee fans make for the same result every season? It's getting old. This is from our buddy Rainey texting in before the show this morning at 5:57, upset with the Tennessee loss last night. Joe, what did you make of the Vols' effort last night against the Aggies?
Well, I thought the effort was good. I do think the Aggies are good. I mean, that's a good team on the road. Tennessee had its chances, really played well early, then had a run late. I mean, look, let's look at the numbers. You know, you take 55 shots and 31 of them are threes. So Tyreek Key goes 1 for 6. Zakai Ziegler goes 2 for 11. I mean, Vescovy did hit 4. And he also, by the way, Vescovy had 14 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists. So, I mean, he
– yeah.
And 5 turnovers. But so between those three guys, you're talking – let me do some math here. That's 7, 4, 27 from 3. And I just – you know, like right now they're not – I mean, Plavsic plays 3 minutes. And I know some of that is matchup related on defense. I think they're missing opportunities just to go inside now. Toby Awaka, who I like a lot, is a freshman, gets 10 points. He hits all 3 of his shots. He gets to the line 5 times, hits 4 of those, 7 rebounds. He's a nice young player. Kamwa has 13 last night, but even late, he settles for a jumper when I'm like, put it on the deck and attack. And that's the problem. But listen, this team right now is constructed, isn't going to do anything. I mean, Julian Phillips has to come back, and they need it's. They've lost a lot of time with him because I thought they need. It's kind of like Kenny Chandler last year. He's not that level of player. Although our guy, our draft guy, has him as a first rounder right now, which blows me away.
I just can't see that.
I can't see it either. But that happens, right?
Sure.
But look, he is a plus athlete. He has to get back on this team, and he has to slash to the bucket. And Josiah James is sorely missed, especially on defense. So, you know, this is a smart thing to do. You don't push those guys, and you just basically at this point hope that you can just stay a 3 seed. I mean, I still think they project as a 3 seed. So, look, if you're a Vols fan right now and you're watching the losing, I get it. I'm going to keep saying, like, this isn't their team, and they can put it together. And you're going to say, why do you think that?
Do they need to go inside more?
They do need to go inside more. It's frustrating. It is, man. And, you know, like Ziegler gets it. It's just, you know, like a guy like Tyreek Key last night, and Tyreek Key has been very up and down this year. You know, shoot, he gave – the only reason they had any chance in that Missouri loss is that he went crazy. But, you know – when you are missing a few and then you just keep like launching just to try to find your shot, that's a bunch of possessions that could have been something else. And that's my problem with this team. I feel like sometimes their shooters are trying to shoot themselves into, you know, making shots. And sometimes it's like, you know what? Go inside.
56% of their shots last night were 3-pointers.
Yeah. No, it's too much.
No.
Well, that's the thing. So from 2, let's see. So from 2, they are 13 for 24. Okay, more than 50% from 2. Yes, do that more. From the line, they're 10 for 14. Go inside more, get to the line more. From 3, 9 for 31. 29%. So, but look, it's also on Rick Barnes. I mean, there's a whole bunch of hyperbole on Rick Barnes right now, you know, from Vols fans. It's ridiculous. But also, Rick Barnes has got to fix this. Rick Barnes has got to just hammer it to home to his team that this is not how you can play offensively. On some nights, you'll be hot and you'll be fine. It all looks great, but it's not. You got to have a running game.
Yep.
And you have the pieces to have a running game. I just, like, Juroš Plavšić, to me, every time he gets the ball on the block, he can't be stopped.
He played 3 minutes last night.
Yeah. And Yeah, I think it's matchup related. With if you have bigs on the other side who have a face up ability and have some quickness, it's not a great matchup for him, you know. So I get that, but you could also zone a little bit and then have him on the offensive end, and he could score on any of them. So Rick Barnes got to figure it out. But again, Phillips and James, they beat Alabama without those guys, and so you're like, ah, it's not that big of a deal. It's a big deal. They are both like 28 to 32 minute a game players, both of them. And without them, you have Meshack, who good. He's out there guarding. He's busting his butt. But, you know, I mean, he gives you 3 points and 4 shots, 1 for 4 in 30 minutes. Like, there's a reason he doesn't play when those guys are healthy.
No, that's true. But, I mean, Julian Phillips wasn't giving you a whole lot more than that either.
Well, some nights he wasn't. Some nights he was. But he can, I mean, he can give you more than Meshack offensively.
Of course.
Yes. And that's what you have to have. Like, you have to have him back. And unfortunately, you've lost this time. This is like a build-up time to get him ready for March, and instead he's hurt. But that's one of the things that's going to have to happen. I'm not shoveling any dirt on this team yet.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Weston. Weston, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. One thing I was looking at just the other day is Vanderbilt versus Tennessee coming up to the SEC tournament. Looking at the remaining schedule, Tennessee maybe wins one, maybe two games at the most, and then Vanderbilt has a shot to win all four, including Kentucky. I mean, they're playing really good right now, and I think they could end up having a better overall record in the SEC than Tennessee this year. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Weston. What do you make of that?
Yep, that is possible. True. Now, I'm not projecting Vanderbilt to win at Kentucky. I am projecting Vanderbilt to beat the crap out of LSU tonight on the road. And by the way, you know, the computer numbers are not good for Vanderbilt. And I'm not a huge fan. I mean, the net's better than the RPI, but and the committee uses a lot of different metrics. A lot of them do not prioritize, but a lot of them do include margin of victory.
Yeah.
It would help Vanderbilt to win big. And I think they should beat Florida at home. They don't have Colin Castleton. I can't project them to beat Kentucky, but you know what? If it gets to that, they do what they should do this week. That's a big, big game next week at Kentucky. That if they win that, I think they're on the good side of the bubble all of a sudden.
Well, and then on the flip side, Tennessee has South Carolina. They should win that game.
Yes.
Arkansas is a big question mark. I think they have a really good roster. That'll be a tough one, but it's in Knoxville. And then Auburn, at Auburn, to close out the season, which is another big one. So, I mean, Weston's call very well could be right about that.
Well, I think they're gonna win the home games. I like them to win the home games. And I think one or both of these guys will also be back soon. I mean, I think it's been smart the way they've played it. So I think they're going to be 11-7. Well, but Vanderbilt could too. Yeah, another thing to remember on this.
So good Kentucky.
That's right. Another thing to remember on this, because I've seen this too. It's like, well, if Vanderbilt has a better league record than how could like the fourth place team in the SEC not be in the NCAA tournament? League record means nothing ever. They don't care. They don't do it. They don't look at it, because obviously league schedules are totally all different.
Right.
Some team has a ridiculous – that's just your overall record. League record means nothing to the committee.
I'm really looking forward to Tennessee and Auburn to close out the season, where it'll be 15-13 at halftime, based on the way the last game went between those two.
See, but then this one will be like 54-53, you know? I mean, it could be. You know? I mean, it doesn't have to be a complete eyesore of a grinder.
It doesn't have to be.
No. No, Tennessee, it's very disappointing how they've played. I mean, it's not their fault these guys got hurt, but they can still – they're not helping themselves enough on the offensive end of the floor. Which is too bad, because they have a great defense. But it's not as great right now either with these injuries.
It's not as great with the injuries, and I do wonder. And, you know, it's not the loss is not totally on him last night, but, I mean, Ziegler, 2 of 11 from 3. Like, you do start to wonder if the wear and tear of the season and not really having many other options to handle the ball other than him, if that's getting to it.
Yeah, 4 turnovers. It's funny, he's 1 for 9 last night. And launches like a 26-footer.
Yep.
And swishes it.
Yep.
So good for you, Ziegler. I think that cut the lead to 1. I mean, he's fearless, and he really is a great player. But yes, there is so much on him. They need to.
And when he's not in there with foul trouble, that's just crucial.
They don't have a point guard. Vescovy can run the offense, but Vescovy running a fast break is like the slowest fast break in the history of basketball. It's like, dude, it looks like me running a fast break. Come on, like push the ball. I mean, again, he's a great player too in his own right. What he does, but he as a point guard, it's just not his cup of tea.
Well, Vanderbilt back in action tonight. So to Weston's point on the call there, you're looking at Tennessee and Vanderbilt coming down the stretch. And Vanderbilt, after beating Florida, what was that, last week?
Yeah.
They're taking on LSU tonight on the road, and then Florida again on Saturday at home. So a couple of quick meetings with the Gators. Interesting game for them tonight on the road at LSU. I think they should win. And to your point, if you could win by a pretty good margin on the road, that would be very good for you if you're Jerry Stackhouse in the doors.
Yeah, help your computer numbers. If they go win at Kentucky next week, I think you'll see a pretty significant change in the computer numbers. But I mean, I think it can be a good game. They played
100%.
They played poorly against Kentucky here,
and that also was probably one of Kentucky's best games to that point as far as guard play.
Oh yeah, they were great that night. So. Could be interesting.
Could be. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 745 here on the program. We'll do that next. Also, take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Joe Rex Road, I turn things over to you.
See, whenever you play that, and then I'm like, wait, was I ripping Jared today? I'm not ripping Jared today. But Jared, I hope
I enjoy this music, though, every time.
Yes. For those of you who don't know Toonce is the Driving Cat, look it up on YouTube. We have some great episodes of Toonce is the Driving Cat. Today, I'm going to talk about something that, you know, has been a big part of my life, and I think it's over. So I probably would not have, I don't know. I've thought about this, and Katie and I have talked about this. Like, would we have gotten into, like, the Marvel Comics Universe movies without the kids? I mean, it was initially about, especially our oldest, Jack, loved superheroes, and he was a certain age, and so we went to these movies.
Yep.
But the thing is, you get into the movies because there are some great, great movies in the Marvel Universe. This is not, and I know some adults who are like, yeah, I've never seen any of those movies. I'm telling you, this isn't just like, you know, some like superhero movie. Goofy.
I think most people have seen a lot of them.
I think so too. But I have talked to some people. I'm like, I actually like who like movies, but they're like, yeah, I'm not gonna watch those. I'm like, like for example, the DC movies to me pale in comparison. You know, other than like the
is that because they made
Christopher
Ben
Nolan
Affleck,
Batman ones.
Batman.
Well, that's part of the problem. Yes. But you're talking about, I mean, if you know, you're talking about, first of all, like the Iron Man movies to me, I mean, hard to beat.
Pretty darn good.
The Guardians of the Galaxy movies, fantastic. I mean, the Captain America, you know, Winter Soldier is an incredible movie. There's just so many. And movies that I personally, I mean, I liked Captain Marvel a lot. I mean, I would say that Avengers Endgame might be the best theater experience I've ever had. Opening night with that, the way it, you know, concluded. I mean, you know, first of all, I'm not going to spoil anything for anybody who hasn't seen it, but to me, when something tragic and unpredictable that you wouldn't expect to happen in a superhero movie does happen, to me, that makes it a better movie.
Agreed.
And some of the moments in the theater packed, going nuts for some of those moments. I mean, it might be as good as it's been for a theater. In a theater for me, Black Panther, fantastic. I mean, there's so many great ones. And a movie that I loved that I thought I probably liked more than a lot of people was Ant-Man. I thought Ant-Man was great because it was hilarious. It hit the right, you know, kind of like the right balance.
Big Paul Rudd guy.
Yeah. And, you know, and I liked both of the first two. So we went, and actually we had Jack back last week from Michigan State unexpectedly. And we went to opening night of Ant-Man and the Wasp. It is absolute trash. I mean, it is hot freaking garbage. And it's so disappointing. And I'm sorry, but it is. Like, it's just trash. It's, to me, easily the worst Marvel movie I've ever seen. And I just feel like, you know, they're trying to do some things. They got trying to get some new franchises going and things. I think this is it, guys. You know, Endgame was kind of a...
I think it may have been the Endgame.
Yeah, like a kind of a fitting title for, like, what, you know? And I understand when you've got this kind of a franchise going and you can attach it to MCU.
Sure.
And some of these characters, it does make sense. Like, I will tell you, I'm sitting here telling you that it's over, and yet I am looking forward to the Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah. I'm hopeful. Yeah. I'm hopeful for the Guardians of the Galaxy. But this movie is such trash. I mean, I don't even want to get into why it's just so bad.
Well, like, I have been skeptical after Endgame, like, what they were going to do moving forward here. And I will say, like, I don't even remember what the most recent Thor movie is called, but I have heard that it is so bad, like, I didn't even bother going to see it. So, it came out last summer. I don't remember.
Okay, I've definitely seen it. Yeah, that was also bad.
Yeah.
Yes.
See, yeah. I've not heard one person tell me that Thor movie was good.
The Ragnarok movie
was
good. Fantastic.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, this one was, yeah. Yeah, this is another example. I'd say this Ant-Man is worse than that was, but yes, it's along the same lines. Like, yeah, it just doesn't work.
Kind of feels like you're struggling a little bit since the end game.
Now, look, part of the thing tied to the new Ant-Man, and of course you wait for the special scenes, is the Loki show.
Yeah.
Which I've only seen part of, but I thought was really good.
I enjoyed it. Yes.
So it's not all is not totally lost. But they basically had it for a while where you knew every single thing was going to be good. At least good. Not all of them great, but all of them at least good. And you could set your – I mean, for us with the kids and then the other two got old enough, I mean, it was opening night. Like, this was a big thing. And you could count on it. And,
well, I used to go –
it's tough now.
Like, I used to go watch all of them, even if, like, for example – now, Guardians of the Galaxy, when it first came out, like, I had no interest in going to see it. I was like, I don't care about any of that.
Yeah.
And then I saw it, and I was like, okay, it's pretty good.
Yes.
But like, even,
I loved
like,
it.
But movies like that, like, even if it was in the MCU and I didn't specifically care about that character or that movie, I'd go see it anyway just because I knew it would be connected in some way moving forward. Like, and now I just don't care.
Like, and another one that was disappointing. It wasn't as bad as these two, but like the last Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Like, I liked the first one. I was not excited about that one. I'm like, okay, like you said, okay, it's tied. And I was like, actually, I liked it. That was good. Yeah, the last one of that also was like, but it wasn't wet, hot garbage like this Ant-Man, which is, I mean, they don't even have, like, they don't even include his friends from jail, which are like,
yeah,
very important comic relief.
Yeah.
For the first two movies.
Jake in Greenbrier says, Endgame was the end of them trying. No Way Home was great, but mostly for nostalgia purposes. Aside from that, they've been bad. This is from Jake in Greenbrier. I did enjoy No Way Home, Spider-Man.
Yeah. No, I've liked all those. Yeah, Doctor Strange 2. So I haven't seen – I have not seen Black Panther 2 yet.
I've not either. I need to watch that.
So, and I've heard mixed reviews on that. I know Shang-Chi, some people like that. I haven't seen that either. So, you know, it's hard to keep up, especially when, like, your Marvel expert in the home no longer lives in the home.
Yeah.
But, man, I got to tell you. Wow, LD from Minville, thank you, man. To cleanse your movie palate, check out the movie Running Scared from 1986. Hey, brother, I saw that in the theater, okay? Billy Crystal, Gregory Hines. I mean, I'm not – he said Robbie Michelle. Hey, do not put Robbie Michelle in the same category. No. And Robbie has actually seen good movies. Michelle, I don't know what she's doing over here.
Oh, me? Wow.
Still have to watch Office Space. Haven't done it yet.
Yes. And who told you last week, Michelle? Was it Vingan? He was quoting Office Space.
Oh, yeah, Vingan was. I've been told it's I like bad shows. Just everybody has a different taste. Just not my thing.
Is this Ryan from Chicago telling you this?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's like, you like really bad shows and movies. I'm like, yeah.
But Office Space is cringe. I don't know, man.
It is a little bit.
Yeah, I know what you watched 5 minutes of it.
John on the text line says, The Eternals, 5 minutes into it, and I was out. That's another one I have not seen yet.
Yeah,
I've not heard good things.
That's the thing. They keep churning these out, and I'm falling behind. So, but I feel less bad about falling behind after watching Ant-Man.
Well, you have saved me a trip to the theater because I was thinking about going to see Ant-Man, and now I think I may watch it someday.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I'll just wait until it's on like Disney Plus or something like that.
If you want to keep up with it, I will say that Kang as a villain is good. Probably saves the movie. So watch it if you want to keep up with stuff, but definitely do not go to the theater.
Got a texture that says the fall off is real when I'd rather go see Cocaine Bear than Quantumania. It's from a texture on the text line. I saw for the first time a commercial for Cocaine Bear this morning, and it was on TV here in the studio.
Oh, you haven't seen those yet?
No, have not.
Oh yeah,
like, what is that?
I saw it for first time last night, and I was like, Cocaine Bear, what is this?
I mean, there's been a lot of Cocaine Bear buzz, so let's hope.
Are you going to go see it?
The title's intriguing.
I mean, I probably won't, but I don't know.
Let's see what happens on that.
Very bizarre.
This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD. He normally joins us on Fridays. He'll be with us today. We'll have Paul Koharski, who is normally with us today on Wednesdays. He'll be with us tomorrow, and then Charles Robinson joining us on Friday. So some shuffling of the deck a little bit this week, but excited to talk to TD coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.